Today I'll be speaking on the verse Hebrews 11:6. While I'm waiting for you guys to turn there, as some of you have probably already realized, that Hebrews 11, that's the Hall of Faith as it's referred to. And you can see in this that there are many, many examples of people in the Old Testament, not all of them, but there are several examples of people in the Old Testament who were shown to have great faith, such as Moses and Abraham, and also Elias, as he's referred to in this. We also call him Elijah. So the verse, Hebrews 11:6, says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So today I'm going to be speaking on the first part, which says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." In the same chapter, as I've already said, there are a number of examples, such as Moses and Abraham and Elijah. And you'll notice something interesting. Before pretty much everyone's name in this chapter, when they're referred to because of their faith, it says, "by faith." It doesn't say, because God gave them a detailed explanation of why they should do it. They just did it, such as Abraham, probably one of the greatest examples of faith, who he was living in this city, and God told him, "Abraham, you need to go." And he didn't even ask where he was supposed to go. He just left. I wonder how many of us could say that if someone told us to leave our home, we would just leave without asking a single question, especially if it was God. Would we all say that we would just leave, not even caring what direction? It's like, that way sounds good. So we can see here that they did it because they were confident in God. I imagine that most of these people had probably heard of God before, such as Abraham. He was living in a city that was primarily polytheistic, but he had probably heard of the God of the Jews before. And Moses, he'd probably, when he was walking around, probably heard a slave or two mention God. And then you have Rahab. Now, Rahab is interesting. Rahab, as we know, was living in Jericho. Now, Jericho was a city that was along the route for the Israelites to take once they went to the land of Canaan. Now, once they were here, Rahab, she had probably heard about, "Oh man, these Israelites, they're taking down all these cities. Maybe there is something to their God. Maybe those other cities, maybe their God wasn't actually real in the first place." And so when these two spies come into Jericho to see what's there, you know, they see the people who were really tall, they see the big fruit, and she hides them because the people are looking for them to kill them. So she hides them, and she had faith. She didn't do it because she thought, "Oh, maybe they'll give me some money if I hide them," because she believed that their God was the true God. And as we know, that once they took Jericho and the walls fell, Rahab and her family was all that was left of the people. Now, I think that in our society today, we've started to lose our dependence on God. We started thinking to ourselves, "You know, I really have some stuff to do. I don't really have time to pray for God's help. I can just do it myself, and it's no big deal." You know, for the adults in the room, you know, it's for you guys, you had to file your tax returns lately, and that was pretty soon. Now, and for someone of my age group, it'd be taking an exam, a big test, a quiz, you know, it's something like that. And I think oftentimes, again, we just, you know, we say, "Oh, it's not that big of a deal," and then when we take the quiz the next day, we fail that quiz because we decided we were only going to study for half an hour. Anyway, so we can see here that God, he's referred to as the Father for a reason. How many of you, this is rhetorical, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you have children? And I imagine that those children were probably toddlers at one point. Now, I imagine that those of you who have toddlers, you know, you went to Meijer or Target or something like that, and you were at the checkout line, and they saw a little Hot Wheels car or something in the checkout line. They're like, "Daddy, can I have that?" And you say, "Yes, you can." Or they want, you know, they want a treat when you go to McDonald's, they want an ice cream cone, you give them the ice cream cone, because it's easy for you to do. And in the same way that it's easy for us to spend a dollar or two to get them an ice cream cone or a Hot Wheels car, it's easy for God to do what we need him to do. If we need help remembering something for that test tomorrow, it's no big deal. He made the earth in 6 days. You think that's a big deal to him? It's easy. Or do you think he minds? Do you think it's a big deal? He's like, I gotta take some time out of schedule. I don't think I can help you. No, he's not busy. He's everywhere at once. How can he be busy? So oftentimes we forget that God does want to help us. We are his children. How many of you don't want to help your children, you know? You're just watching like a football game or something and your kid, he says, hey dad, can you quiz me on this part of my vocab book or something like that? And you're like, yeah, sure, because it's not important. It's just a football game. You take a second to look away from that. You know, so you can understand here that we do have some sort of a father-child relationship to God, and that God is a father to us. And in much the same way that as fathers or parents, I suppose, for the mothers here, much the way that you would get your child a little treat or a little toy, you know, God likes helping us. He likes giving us little blessings. And sometimes he gives us big blessings. You know, God is a loving God. He treats us like his children. He loves us. He, such as the parable of the 100 sheep, one got lost. He went out for that one. Now, a regular shepherd would be like, nah, it's just one, whatever. You know, spend a few shekels and get another one. But God cares about all the sheep. God cares about all of us. He wants to help us, and we have to remember that God cares. And we can't just go off on our own and say, I don't need you, God. I can do it myself. Just, I'll read the Bible later today. Fine. You know, I think when we do that, we're really just saying, God, I don't need you. I don't care. Now, perhaps for some of us, it's not as extreme as that, and we don't have time, or we just forget, you know? It's understandable, especially in the modern world we live in, where you have to have a form for things and you have to file these taxes. But not to say that taxes are a modern invention, obviously, but things have become quite a bit more complicated in our modern world, and you have to do a lot more things. But we should always make time for God. We should always trust him to help us. There's no reason not to trust God. There's no reason not to ask for his help. Because remember, he wants to help us. Like the Bible says, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. When your kid asks you for a Hot Wheels car, you don't say, why would you ask that? Get out. No, you don't say it. You spend the dollar and get in the Hot Wheels car. And much the same as God would help us study for that quiz, file our taxes, make sure we say the right things. It's the same thing. Well, it's kind of the same thing. But you can see the relationship that we have with God here, and that, again, God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask, in much the same way that a father would want his child to ask for help. The father doesn't want to just be there to pay for his room. The father is there to help in whatever way he can, whatever way his child needs him to help. And I understand when, say, we have a quiz or you guys have to do something. I'm not an adult, so I don't have any examples really besides taxes. We can see that God wants to help. And again, God, he's perfectly willing to help. He doesn't care how big it is. You think God cared that the universe was big? It's a big deal. It is a very big deal, but he took 6 days out of his eternity to help. God doesn't care how big it is. If you ask and you have the right relationship with God, you can expect an answer. Now, the answer might not always be yes. It might be yes, wait, no. You know, most if not all of us have probably experienced one or more of those answers to prayer. You know, like sometimes back this summer, I would ask, you know, God, I'd like to see this kind of insect today. And you know what? Like a minute later, I'd see that insect. Like, and sometimes I'd get really specific. I wanted to see one of those big, fat bumblebees. And you know what? I saw one like a minute later. It was really cool. I actually gasped because that really hadn't happened before. But apart from that, there are answers to prayer. God, and do you know why there are answers to prayer? It's because God cares. God likes seeing us happy. And if it's not a sinful thing to ask, if it's not a matter of pride, if it's not selfish, you know, like, God, would you make that guy's car crash into the road? No. I'm pretty sure God's not going to answer that prayer with a yes. I'm pretty sure. Now, if you ask, you know, God, I really need your help. I really need your help. I need to study for this quiz, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to remember everything. Just ask, you know, get on your knees, pray. God, I need your help with this. And you know what? If he thinks it's best, he's going to help. There's no reason for God not to help unless it's not for the best. You know, if you get a good, really good grade on that quiz and he knows that you would, like, gloat to the person who failed that quiz, he's probably not going to do it because that would cause you to sin. However, this is all to say that we just need to have faith in God. We need to be ready to ask. God is not going to scold us for asking for something innocent, like getting a good grade on a quiz. God's not going to scold us. We need to start having more faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak in church today. Please let the message, please touch someone's heart through the Holy Ghost. In your name, amen.